others, use those during the course of the week for the homework assignment, okay? But as much as possible, use your own Bible, and if not, then come back to these, okay? Is that clear? Everybody understand where we're headed with that? Now, in the Bible introductions, most of them will have the following kind of information in it. Okay? Who wrote the book? To whom was the book written? What are the main points of the letter? What are the recipients? Where are the recipients of this book located? Okay? And when was the letter written and why was the letter written? Some of this we can actually get from the text. Some of this we were already reading. Okay, this week? Right? If you look, the letter was written by Peter, so he starts off in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, okay, to whom was it written? To God's elect strangers in the world scattered throughout. So a lot of times you can get this information right out of the scriptures that you're reading, okay? You may also want to look at the introductions, because the introductions to the books will end up giving you more background information about the letter that you're reading or the book that you're reading in the Bible. All right. What I would like to do now, okay, as we're reading along, and I believe it's in your handout, yep. Okay, it's one, two, the third page from the end. The top of the page is step one. Write down knowledge attained, a portion of the verse or thought stands out. See how, and then it says step two, one option, Rick Warren's Space Pets Acrostic. Okay. Once I've gone through and I've gotten a main thought from God's Word, from the book that I'm reading, I want to write that down. That's what we've been doing. Okay, now we're only going to do it for chapter one. All right. How do you organize? Remember we said record the information. So we've read, we've recorded, and now we're going to have, give us something to review. So Rick Warren is a senior pastor at Saddleback Church in California. And the church that he's pastoring has about 17,000 members. Okay. And he uses acrostics. Now, acrostic means the first letter of each word comes together to spell something different. So Rick Warren has come up with one way to organize your materials, okay? And it's called Space Pets, okay? Does the passage that I have give me a sin to confess? Okay, do I need to make restitution to someone? This is Rick Warren, okay? Does it give me a promise to claim? If it's a promise to claim, is it a universal promise, meaning it's a promise to everyone? Or is it a conditional promise? I've got to decipher whether it's specifically intended for me. Some promises in the Bible are only for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. Okay. Some promises are only for believers. Okay. And there are other promises, you know, God's going to send the rain and the sun on everyone, whether you're good or bad. So it's a universal promise. So we have to determine which it is. Does the reading of the passage that I have give me an attitude that I need to change? Am I willing to work on a negative attitude and begin to build on a positive one? Does it give me a command to obey? Am I willing to do it no matter how I feel? Does it give me an example to follow? Is it a positive example for me to follow or a negative one to avoid? Okay, and then pets. Prayer to pray. That sometimes I'll be reading the Word of God and all of a sudden I'll say, wow, I should be praying about that, and I'm not. I'm not praying about, like today's message, okay? I'm not praying enough for the unity of the body here at Crossroads. And that's sad. So it convicts me and I say, well, you know, I need to pray. Right now, I'm going to pray because that's where God is leading me, okay? Is there an error to avoid? Okay. Is there a truth to believe or something to praise God for? Is there something I can be thankful for? Some of us want to get that detailed in our work. And Rick Warren, in his book, How to Study the Bible, has a great chart that he uses that you can make and fill all of that in. Okay? I'll be honest with you. Okay? I don't know if it's too lazy or it's too complicated or too involved for me. I like to keep things simple. So for me, what I usually end up using, and it's been working for me, and I pray that, you know, if the Lord leads me to get more detailed about this as time goes on, then I will. Okay? But for right now, I keep it simple in my life. So I have three C's that I want to... One of them, the passage that I am reading right now, okay, the thought that God left me with, the verse that he left me with, the part of a verse that he left me with, is there conviction for sin in my life? Is there something God's telling me I need to change in my life? So the first C is conviction. You may want to write these on your notepads, three C's on top of one and on the back side. Put this information there. Okay, the second C, okay, is there a challenge that God has given me? In what way does God want me to grow as an individual? What's he inviting me to do, bring me in closer communion with him and with my brothers and sisters here at the church? Okay? So that, again, from the message this morning, okay, we get to help one another. So what's the challenge that God has on me at two levels? His level and the level of the church, where he has placed it. And then the third one is, what comfort does that passage provide? We'll be going over these, and I'll give you some examples of this as we're going along, okay? So I want you to make sure that you have the three. So it's conviction of sin, number one. What do I need to turn around in my life based on the Word of God, what God is telling me in this passage? The second one is, what challenge has God given me, to an invitation to grow closer to the people that he's put in my life? Okay, and three, what comfort is this passage of Scripture? Now, somebody's going to probably want to know, do I get that out of every single passage that I'm reading? And the answer is probably not. Okay? In every, if we've asked the Holy Spirit to help us as we start our study, all right, what's going to happen is he'll reveal to us something. So in some passages, he may convict me of sin. In others, he may convict me of sin and then challenge me to do something to grow closer to him. Other times, he may be wanting to comfort me. Sometimes he'll do one, sometimes he'll do two, sometimes he'll do all three in the passage. What I find is, if I write that thought down, like what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks, if we write that thought down in a 2x5 note card and I keep it in my pocket and I get to that traffic light, I wait in line at the bank, I go to the post office, I go to the registry of motor vehicles, and I wouldn't be there because I'd be still standing in line. But, you know, wherever you are, take the note card out and read the note card. And ladies, keep it in your purse and read that note card. The more I do that during the course of the day, I will usually find that most every passage that I read, God is doing all three for me. And it's just, how much time do I end up doing, processing God's word in my life? How much he's going to reveal to me. Okay? Sometimes it's going to be obvious, and sometimes I've got to really think about that. What do you mean by that? I can't see how there's any comfort in this passage. You know, show me. And you know, when I'm talking to God like that, God wants to answer my prayer. God will answer my prayer. And he'll reveal something to me that he wants me to learn. Okay, Ruth.
There's on comfort, there's a different twist to it, because you say comfort does this passage bring to mind for my obedience. So if I'm obedient, what comfort do I get from it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because obviously, if I'm not going to be obedient to that passage, I cannot be comforted by that passage. That's going to offer me a challenge. It's going to be like a little goad that's prodding me. So yeah, good point. Thank you. Okay. Everybody clear on conviction, challenge, and comfort for the passage? Okay. Did I lose everybody? Everybody's still with me? Okay. All right. I'm going to do something a little bit different today because I want to point some of these things out in the actual passage. So you have the letter of 1 Peter, chapter 1 in the handout. So, before we get to you, everybody find it? Everybody has it? Before we go there, last week I mentioned that the notes that are in our Bibles, sometimes the headings, okay, can actually be a distraction to the Word of God. It can keep me from getting to know what God wants me to know specifically in my life because I go off in another direction that somebody else has determined is important. Okay? I will give you four examples from that, okay? First of all, stand strong. Bill Hybels got an excellent little book. And in chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, his heading is A Life of Hope. Wow, that's great. I want to learn about hope. That's good. My mind is programmed now, okay? Somebody mentioned a distraction, right? Okay, God may not want to talk to me about hope in that passage right now. That may not be what I need to hear right now. But my mind is telling me it's a life of hope, so I got to look for that. Okay? So we're hearing from a man, we're not hearing from God. Now these can be very helpful, but we need to be aware of that. Okay? The Scofield Reference Bible. Okay? That's what I cut my teeth on as a Christian. Okay? Verses 1 to 28. Okay? Are titled Christian Suffering and Conduct in the Light of Full Salvation. I can't even remember all that. But anyhow, and okay, that's the title he gives to that passage. So if I go into the passage and I'm reading that heading, okay, I gotta look at suffering and I've gotta look at full salvation. I've gotta look at full. And God may be wanting to talk to me about hope. But you know what? I've eliminated God's, the Holy Spirit, from being able to talk to me and what he wants to say because I'm following another man's teaching, okay? The Ryrie Study Bible, okay? It has two sections to it. Grace means security, verses 3 to 12, and grace means sobriety, verses 13 to chapter 2, verse 10, okay? And the NIV Bible online has two divisions, praise to God for removing hope, and behold it, verses 13 to 25. All of these people that develop these notes, okay, we have to remember they are people, they are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, they are godly people. I'm not saying they are not godly, I'm not saying anything evil about them. But these people here are telling us what they believe to be holy, what they believe that we need to hear from the Word of God, okay? And that can be helpful. And if you have access to multiple sources like that, by all means, start though. Please, start by listening to what the Word of God said, just like you did for the last 2 weeks. That is the single most important thing that I can invite you to do. Then, go and look at some of these. Now, okay, I hadn't thought about it, you know? When I went through it the last 2 weeks, I've got to share, the two main thoughts that I came away with, okay? This does not make it right or wrong compared to what you have. It's just different. This is how God spoke to me. Number one, the thing that impressed me is living a victorious life in the midst of suffering. And the really huge one that kept being emphasized to me is relationships in the Bible. And it just kept coming back to me as I studied it. So I don't know what you came up with, but that's what God wanted you to know this week, okay? And that's why we're getting into the Word. We want to know what God is telling us to do. So all of these can be good, they can be helpful, but they can also be a distraction. So beware. The reason why you want to beware, and this is the handout that's on your table that says pass around. Everybody at your table can look at that and then Beware of biases, okay? When Googling introduction to the book of 1 Peter, you'll have access to 67,900,000 entries. Okay? Likewise, if one looks through Christian book distributor or Christian bookstores, one finds a wide variety of teachers and teachings. Okay? They all come with us with a bias. Okay? A lot of times, it's a denominational bias, okay? The congregational church will have the company line on what you're supposed to believe about this. The Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, the Catholic church. Churches will all have their bias. And so you go to somebody and you say, what does this mean? And they'll give you the company line, okay? And that's one way to look at it, but it's not the only way necessarily to look at it. One of the things I really appreciate here at Crossroads is we're a non-denominational church. So that means nobody has the one right answer, you know, the company line to give to us. If we have questions about scriptures, though, we should go first and foremost to our pastors, okay, Ron or Vinny, or one of the elders, okay? These are all men that have had more experience in the Word of God than what I have. So if I have a question, I'm likely to go to them and ask them what they think. And they will do the best they can to direct me in a positive and healthy direction for my life. Okay. But we want to be aware, though, that most sources that we're reading, okay, and especially what you get off the internet, I mean, some of the stuff is really wild, is going to end up making a big difference as to how the whole book is presented. So beware of the internet. I said, you know, I've always gone to my pastors to ask them, well, what Bible do we use, and what Bible does this church use, and how do we understand it, and stuff like that. And they've done, I think, a good job of leading me in a positive, healthy direction. So I want us to be aware of that before we start reading chapter. Okay. All that being said, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. It will start in verse 1. And I'm going to stop at different points and point out different things. In verse 1, you're going to have the answer to two more of the pretest questions. Okay? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. Okay? Strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ, and the sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is an interesting verse, because right off the bat, this is a verse that causes a lot of controversy amongst believers. Okay? Some people see the word to God's elect, and if you're not sure what that means, that would be a good word to jot down on a piece of paper or on a note card. I want to follow up on this. Okay? And feel free to do that on the letter that we read last week. You're all done using that, so write it down on that so that you'll remember it later if you want to do it. Okay, so number one, the book is written by Peter. Number two, it's written to God's elect. Okay. Number three, it's strangers in the world. That means this, and they're scattered. Okay. And if you look at the margin right next to that, you'll see a capital S for verse 1-1. Verse 1-1, it's a capital S, it says Hebrews 11:13. Everybody find Hebrews 11:13? Okay. On the pretest, you were asked, does that letter S mean scrutinize carefully? No, that's false, okay? What it means is a similar passage. Okay. It's like a parallel passage. So we go to that passage and it'll provide some understanding to the passage that we're looking. Okay, so now, verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now here's a big word for it. Some people believe that this verse teaches predestination. God has said before, this is what that basically says, okay? God said, okay, you're in, you're out. And you have no choice. And there are some denominations that teach predestination. Okay? And you can study that out. Personally, I disagree with that because my scripture ends up telling me, whosoever will may come. Okay? God loved us all before. God loves us all. God doesn't want any of us to perish. Okay? So I don't believe that, but I wanted to bring that up as a possible question that you may want to look into. Okay, here's our heading, right? It's bold-faced, it's italics, and it's underlined. So it must really be important, right? Forget it. Okay? I have it in here because that's how it came off the internet. So I left that in there. But again, when you're reading this passage in your Bible, you may not have that, and you probably won't have that as a title. Okay, so use whatever you've got. Okay. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. One of those words may end up triggering phrases God may use to trigger something for you, to end up meditating upon, to think about. He might be convicting you of our sin. Wait a minute, I don't have this new relationship. I don't have a life. I don't know what's going on, you know, in eternity. So God has convicted me of sin by reading this, okay? So he's given that to us. The challenge may be, okay, so now what do I do about that? Okay, okay, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. One of the questions on the pretest talked about the salvation is something that's going to be revealed. And that's it. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, one of the questions on the pretest is something that's really worth thinking about. Does 1 Peter and does God promise a believer a life free from suffering, trials, and temptations?
No.
Okay, right here. Why does he allow sufferings, trials, and temptations into our lives? Verse 7. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God allows suffering in my life, okay, to bring glory, honor, and praise to him, not to me. He wants to refine my faith. So one of the things God may, he did in one of the days that I was reading, as preparing it, you know, my faith is being refined like fire. Okay? And the only way fire, you know, the hotter the heat, the more purities come out. Well, sometimes that's what God ends up doing in my life to get me to be more and more like him. So that's what I do. So for me, the challenge might be, what is God trying to teach me in the trial I'm going through? What's God trying to teach me in the suffering that's happening in my life? Okay, that's the question I maybe wanted to ponder on. If that's what God has led me to believe in this passage, and that's what he's called to my mind. Okay, and then if I believe that conditional promise, if I do that and I believe that, it'll provide comfort for me. So now, the suffering I'm going through, the trials, the tribulation, whatever I'm going through, doesn't become a wasted amount of time. It doesn't have to be something that ties me down. Now it's giving me the hope, okay, for Jesus, verse 7. So that's how this can apply into our reading, okay? Okay, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest of care. The prophets The prophets were looking for these answers. They were looking for how all of this ties together. Okay? And it ties together for us in the way that we just talked. It was revealed to them that we're not serving themselves. Ooh, that sounds familiar from this morning's message, right? But you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things so we can understand things that the angels can't even understand. Okay? Our relationship with Jesus is in a different way. Angels never have a second chance to repent and to come to Jesus. Okay? All of us, by virtue of Adam and Eve, okay, have a fallen nature. So we are all sinners. Okay? Can't get out of that. We're all sinners. We've all done something wrong. The second way is because we have a sin nature, we're all going to sin. Okay? At times we're going to do things that we shouldn't do. We're going to say things that we shouldn't say. We're not going to do things that we should do. We're not going to say things that we should say. Okay? That's sin. So I'm a sinner because I have my sin nature. I'm a sinner by choice. Okay? So we need to remember that. So Jesus has made possible a relationship with him that even the angels long to look at. Because you know what? The wages of sin is
death.
If I sin one time, if I have one lousy attitude towards somebody, I deserve death. I deserve the death penalty. But God, in his mercy, made it possible for that to be wiped away. Okay? Jesus came to die for sinners, and I'm a sinner. Jesus, you came to die for me. Thank you. I ask you, come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. That passage has brought me conviction. It's brought a challenge of what I need to do if I'm going to be right with God. Okay? And wow, I have done that in my life. I've asked Jesus to be my Lord. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. I have a great deal of comfort in that, and the Word reaffirms the comfort right here. Okay? Moving on, the second section according to this passage here is behold. Okay? Verse 13. What's the first word?
Therefore.
Whenever I say the word therefore, I have to ask myself, what is it there for? Okay? Okay? It's an easy way, the only way I can remember stuff like that, okay? What's it there for? That first word in verse 13, okay, is a conclusion of everything that came from verse 1 to verse 12. Okay? Because of all of this, therefore, what am I to do? I'm supposed to prepare my mind for action, be self-controlled, and set hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay, that's another mouthful. Wow. What does it mean to have hope when Jesus Christ is revealed? That might be the thought that God gives me to meditate on today, to encourage me right now, right here, in the midst of what I'm going through. Okay? Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, as long as I'm in this sinful body, in this flesh, in this human nature, can I be holy? Not practically, okay, because I'm defiled. So I have to base that only, the only way I can be holy is with my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So my position in Christ is, after I've asked him to be my own personal Lord and Savior, he's going to come into my life. He makes me holy. He stamps holy on me. I'm his holy possession. Now, as I live my life, what I've got to do is I've got to practice holiness. Okay? So there's a difference between my position and the practice, okay? I need to work on this holiness. You know what? Sometimes I may say an unkind word to someone. Sometimes I may be disrespectful to somebody at work. Sometimes I can, the person that cuts me off in the street when I want to get even with them and everything else, right? That's not being holy. But if I'm remembering this passage, be holy for I'm holy, what would Jesus have me to do? What would Jesus do if he was driving this car right now? How would he respond? That's how he wants me to be. Because he wants me to be holy as he was holy. Okay? Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Now that's a mouthful, okay? What does he mean by being a stranger here? Okay, I love it. There's an old hymn that we used to sing in some of the churches that I was at. Okay. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Okay? And there's another one, you know, we talk about the acronyms and everything. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Okay? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's my training. The Bible is my training manual. That's why I want to read it. That's why I want to love it. That's why I want to prepare myself. Because then I'm going to get to heaven and be tested on it. Ruth.
We started with therefore. I remember a former pastor also saying if we see since then, it's the same type of thing. Now down in 17 we have since.
Yep.
So is that another little trigger there?
That's another key word. Good point. Okay. Now since what?
Since you called him Father.
Okay. See, the since in this case is not going back, it's looking forward. Okay? Since what? Since you call on a father, okay, who judges each man's impartially, live your lives in strangers here in the world. So because I'm a stranger in this world, I call on God my Father. Now, that brings up another point that you may want to, what does it mean to have God as my Father? Okay? Because you have some people out there, and the world today will try to tell you, you know, God's the Father of us all. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's not what it means, okay? God is my Father only if I have a spiritual relationship with Him. If I ever made peace with God, if I ever asked God to come into my life and to be my own personal friend, if I do, then I am a child of God. Otherwise, I'm not a child of God. Okay? I'm a child of the world. Okay. Verse 18. For, now see, the for is another one of those words like since, okay? Now, what's appropriate about since? Okay, God judges, okay? Another thing you may want to think about in verse 17 too, okay? What is it to have reverent fear? That's another phrase to study out. We're going to be looking at different ways to study things out as we're going in future classes, okay? So, don't worry about that now. Just jot the word. If it's something that intrigues you, write it down so that you'll remember it too long. Look at it later. So I go along with that. Okay. Okay, verse 19. With the precious blood of Jesus, of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Verse 22. What's the only way I can be purified and thus be holy? Okay, verse 22. Purify yourself by obeying the truth. What's the truth? What's in the Bible? What does Jesus tell us? You're a sinner. You deserve death. However, I love you so much, I don't want you to die. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. Obeying the truth means asking Jesus to come into your life. Okay. Verse 23, for you have been born again. That's what being born again means. Having that special relationship with Jesus. And not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and enduring word of God. Enduring. How long is enduring? You may want to look at that. You may want to meditate on that. You may want to study that. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This one chapter is packed with tons and tons of things for us to look at, to apply to our lives. Ruth.
So this has been highlighted, and there's a little X there after 23. So
why do you think that would be highlighted in there? I'm not the one that did that. That was that came off the internet that way. Why do you think that one verse would be highlighted off the internet Bible?
Because of its importance.
because of its importance. Okay, so what's important in that verse?
Being born again.
It's what?
Being born again.
Being born again. Thank you. Bill.
Bruce.
Ah, Bruce. Bill.
I hope this isn't a bad description of digression, but on the point of holiness, I just wanted to say a couple of things there. First of all, in 1 Corinthians, it describes Jesus as our holiness and our righteousness and our perfection. Mm-hmm. So he is our holiness within us, and therefore we have to stand. But the other thing that comes to mind is in Galatians, you talk about remembering that we need to be holy. And in Galatians 3, it speaks very clearly there that we can't do that. And it says, are you so foolish? It's a little hard. But after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And it goes on and it says, does God give you a spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe that you've heard? So the point that I'm making is it's good to be reminded of the quality to admit that we can't. And then to love the one who makes us holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Okay. Before we conclude, does anyone else have a comment? A question? Patricia.
Yeah, it's actually something that I heard that I want to ask Lee about too. And I'm a burr under the saddle here because I heard him talking about being like Jesus and allowing Jesus to do this, but and then working towards that. But we can't. It's the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who leads us and gives us the strength and the power to be convicted and follow through, to be challenged and follow through, and to be comforted. I guess. Sometimes when I hear the sentence drop off and I don't hear somebody say, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives you the power. The Holy Spirit gave Jesus the power on earth to do the things that he did. And I just think it's really incredibly important that we remember that we just don't go, well, Jesus is holy, and then here, be ye holy. Well, how do I do that? Well, I do that because I have a living power inside of me that I can call on to say, please, keep me challenged, keep me convicted, and keep me comforted. So I just really have to say that.
That's why it's so important when we start off that we acknowledge that it's the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that's going to lead us into discovering what it is that God wants us to learn. Absolutely. Yeah. Good point.
Peter chapter 2 verse 1, it says, therefore rid yourself of all malice and do all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. I understand that's a goal, and like she said, the Holy Spirit is the one who does that, but we're also born sinful in nature, so how does that passage make sense in the kind of wording in which it's saying rid yourself of all malice and rid yourself. Like it's at least from my Bible saying you rid yourself of all malice and such like that. And how, like, basically, especially considering all the other passages that everyone's already we've already studied and such like that, right. The Holy Spirit's the one that works through. Then why is this passage telling me to rid myself if I can't do that myself?
Okay. Good point. Good question. What's the first word in that sentence?
Therefore.
And what's the rule when we see that word? What's it there for? That's a conclusion of everything that we just read about that relationship with Jesus Christ and being born again and made holy because of the work of Jesus Christ. So, is it really me that's doing the work, or is that the attitude I have of wanting to rid myself of all of that and asking the Holy Spirit to help me do that? Okay, so that's the goal. I agree. That's the goal. I want to rid myself of all of this stuff. I don't even know how to begin doing it. Okay? I don't know how to be kind to people. I don't know how to be respectful to people on my own. I have to let God work through me. So that therefore is based on that whole relationship in chapter 1. That's how I understand it. Juan, do you have something on that? No? Okay. Okay. Yes.
I think it goes back to what yours is, it's by choice.
Right.
You know, we choose, and then we let the Lord be the work in us.
Right. So there's the attitude, and Paul, in one of his epistles, ends up talking about, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil which I don't want to do, that I do. Oh, what a miserable man I am. And that's the battle we have. That's the battle we're going to have the whole time we're here. If I'm relying only on me to do it, if I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to do it, to help me to do it, then it is. And sometime a wise lady shared something in a meeting that I was at, and she said, sometimes the only prayer I can end up making is, help me to be willing, to be willing. Okay, and if anybody has any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them. I'll be here as long as we need to be. We do have to close for the sake. I don't want to be held accountable to Peter, and especially to the Lord. Okay, this passage of Scripture makes it so clear what our relationship needs to be with God. So I'm going to ask you today, okay, is there ever a time in your life when you said, God, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. Jesus came to save sinners. I am a sinner. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want Jesus to come in and take control of my life. I want the Holy Spirit to be within me. Okay? And I'm going to ask you, please, if you've never, ever done that, see me before you leave. So see Juan, and you know we want to make sure that's right, because you know what, the rest of this really doesn't make any sense unless we have that kind of a relationship. That's when we become an elect member of the body. That's when we become, when Vinny was talking about his message, we're part of that body to encourage one. So please, if you've never done that, do that before you leave this place today. You may never have another chance. Thank you very much, Father God. We just thank you so much for revealing yourself to us through your word. We ask it to be with us as we do our homework assignment this week, and forgive us what it is that you would have us to learn, that you want us to know about you, our relationship with you, and our relationship with our brothers and sisters. Help us to have a good time next week at the church-wide picnic and outing and baptism service, Lord God. We pray that it draws us all closer together and bring us back in 2 weeks, where we'll continue and work every week from that point on to finish this course. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.